Praise the Lord. He laughed at me at that church. I took a made an altar out of a stump. Yeah, he was a loser out in the wilderness. Said, really? Abraham made an altar out of rocks. Abraham, the father of our nations, all the father. Everywhere he traveled, when he stopped, he made an altar out of rocks. He put an altar there and got on his knees, and it became an altar of remembrance, because when he went back, as he journeyed back through where he was going, he saw that those rocks, and he remembered. And there was an altar of remembrance. He remembered where God brought him from. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we forget where God has brought us from. We forget what God has done for us to get us to this day. Amen? Last night, we drove home from a show we did, and the roads were very bad. They were very bad. And I thank God, as soon as I got in my driveway, thank you, Lord, for getting me home. I don't want to forget that. He got me home.
Right.
So he's with me. Amen? This man was a loser. He was a drunk. And we see that. We all know people. We all fall short. So we look at each other. But somebody that gives their heart and life back to God, back to Jesus, is a winner. Amen?
Right.
So Palm Sunday. Amen? Let's stand up and pray together to our Father in heaven. Very good. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Mark. Praise the Lord. Is spring ever going to come? God, yesterday was amazing. I thought when the snow in the morning, it was going to stop. And it didn't stop at 2, and it didn't stop at 5, and it didn't stop. Then it stopped for a minute, and I thought, okay, good. And then on the way home, it's like, okay, back again. My wife was like, better slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. Yeah. So I tried to slow down, but I couldn't go that slow. So. But, you know, she's right. And we got to Southbury. I thought it would be better. It was even worse. Where was it when the sand, the salt was on the road on 67? I mean, it was just, the Lord got us home. Amen? The Lord got you here today. Amen? You got a lot to be thankful for. You got a lot to start with. You got to look at all the good stuff. Amen? You got to open the refrigerator and see all the good stuff first. You see the good, and then let God help you with the rest. Amen? But you got to see the good first. How many know that? You got to see the good first. You got to appreciate the beautiful things that God is doing for us, the things that you have, and then work on those other things. Amen? Let's read together a responsive reading, 118. Hallelujah. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord through which righteous man enters.
Hallelujah. That gate is Jesus. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With those in hand, joining the fist of procession up to the horns of the altar.
Hallelujah. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. That's Jesus. His light is shining upon us. When you want to stand in it or stand in the darkness, you can choose that. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession up to the horns of the altar. Right to God. Right? You can go right to God. You are my God, it's, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Praise God. That's Psalm 118. You know, we read the Word of God. We read the Psalms and the Proverbs to get strength, to get led, to follow God more, to get out of our own mind. Because I'm telling you something. In your own mind, you fall short with God every day. In your own mind, you stop at what you think. You think you're walking with God, and all of a sudden something happens, and you go back to what you think. Amen? God sees things further on than you do. If trouble arises on Monday and you think it's really bad, God has already seen the answer for Friday. Amen? When you pray to God, you got to give it to God. If you pray to God and then you carry it, you've given him nothing. Amen? Like the story that woman told me many years ago about the little boy who brought the toy to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Can you fix this toy?" And Jesus said, "Sure." And the little boy went back a little while later and said, "Why haven't you fixed the toy?" And Jesus said, "Because you haven't given it to me yet." You know, we laugh and we smile about this, but this is God, amen? This is what God is all about. Not what the world says, amen? Today we're going to talk about Jesus, and I hope you put an end to this nonsense that Jesus was with Mary Magdalene, had children, because that's a blasphemy to God, amen? That's a blasphemy to this word. You want to say that? You're telling God he's a liar, amen? If he wanted to know he was married, he would have told us. But he was the son of who?
God.
He didn't need that kind of fleshly love. Amen? He didn't have those kind of desires like that. He was the Son of God here, sent to do what? To save who? He wasn't concerned. And those people, maybe he had children. I'm telling you, it's time for that nonsense to stop. And we need to say that's foolishness. You can't show me. That's somebody's opinion. And why Mary Magdalene? Why? Why Mary Magdalene? Because it's probably one of only two women they know in the New Testament. They know Mary the mother and Mary Magdalene. So it had to be Mary. It couldn't have been Joanna, the other woman that was with Mary, or the other woman that helped find. It couldn't have been Martha. It had to be Mary Magdalene. Because he saved her. Because they were going to throw stones at her. How many times have you heard that? They don't even know who they're talking about. It wasn't Mary Magdalene that they were going to stone. It was a woman. They didn't ever said what her woman was when Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." That wasn't Mary Magdalene, but people say, "Oh, that was Mary Magdalene." No, it wasn't. Mary Magdalene became somebody who loved Jesus to the point where she wanted to be with him. Amen. He saved her from demons. He took out things, and she probably was depressed. She probably had anxiety. She probably worried about everything. She probably felt the burdens of the world were on her shoulder. Anybody have anxiety? You know anybody that gets stressed out? You know anybody that gets like that all the time? That was her. And God, Jesus, took that from her. Said, "You don't need to have that, Mary. You don't need to feel that way. You need to let go. I'll take that." And she said, "Oh my God, I don't want to be anywhere else but with you. I'm going to bring my friends. And we're going to support your ministry. We're going to help you. We're going to make sure that you have sandals for your feet." They didn't know what he needed, but they gave. In the Bible it says they supported his ministry. She loved him. Amen? That's all it was. Because she knew who he was. Those people that talk about this book, those people that talk about Mary Magdalene, let me tell you, they don't want to know who God is. Are you with me? They don't want to know. They're finding for how many years? Right, my friends? How many years have they been trying to prove the Bible wrong, Sergio? How many years? That's what there's people whose whole life, the little bit of life that they have on this world where they can have joy, their whole life is to, "Oh, I'm going to prove this book wrong." And every time they try, they fail. Why? Because this is the living word. This is love. Amen? Love. This is the book of love. Other religions are talking hate and murder. They're talking nonsense stuff. They're getting people angry. Why? Nobody even knows why they're doing it. They're angry about life. They want to kill this person. They want to kill that person in the name of their God. In the name of our God, Dave, I want to love you. Amen? Gene, I want to love you in the name of our God. I want you to know this God so you have love and compassion in your heart. Not anger. Not anger and frustration. Being mad at other people. And let me tell you something else. Lies. Lies, lies, lies start the ball rolling downhill. Amen? You just saw, I told you, and I know people say, you don't watch your opinion, but I told you that thing that happened in Missouri was a lie. It was a lie. It started one day with a lie, and that one day was a lie that caused people to lose their life, to lose their job, to lose their businesses. They got other people angry over a lie. Amen? And let me tell you, Satan's pretty good at finding those lies that'll touch people. Lies. It starts with a lie. When anything that starts with a lie, you see anybody, the first words out of their mouth is a lie, everything else is going to fall apart. Amen? But not with God. Amen? Not with God. And I'm telling you, trouble's going to come. You follow Jesus, trouble's going to hit your house. That's right. Because you're still living in this world. You follow Jesus, and you're still going to argue with your wife. You're still going to argue with your husband. You're still going to say things you wish you hadn't. You're still going to do things you wish you hadn't. But every day you get up and you brush it off and say, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll walk forward because it's you that I'm hurting. Because if I don't hurt you, I won't hurt the people around me. Amen? You get angry about something, say, that's the old me. I'm not going to get angry about that. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow this God. Are you with me? The testimony today is, and I hope you do, thank you, Marilyn, for putting that in, from the pastor's desk is in here today. I want you to look at that, read it later, because it talks about what we talked about. I've heard people say, oh, you're not supposed to judge me. Don't judge me. The Bible says not to judge me. And I tell you from what it says in that note, and I tell you, you judge yourself every single day when you wake up. You judge yourself. So, I feel like saying this. I feel like going here. Well, you've judged yourself. So everybody else, all they got to see is what you've judged yourself by. Amen? The things that you do, the things that you say, that's what you, and you start to dress up, you start to act different, you start to, and you're not impressing anybody, you're just walking like Jesus, amen, you want to be a Christian, so you need to rise up, out of your thoughts, and walk like Jesus, he's like Jesus is with you, and then you start walking with a little bit of pride with that humbleness, saying, God is with me, I can do all things, because, and then you start to say different things, and you start to act different ways, and then people will judge you in a way that you wanted them to see you, amen? I want you to read that, because even in church, that's right, Fred, right? Even in church, it's even harder. You read in the Bible where in Galatians that they were fighting again. And in Ephesians, they were fighting. And Corinthians, the letters to the Corinthians, three of them, because Paul was so upset. So what are you doing? You learned about Jesus and you're going backwards. Because this is the hardest place to keep a family sometimes. You know why? Because in this place, we talk about compassion. We talk about forgiveness here. We talk about loving everybody. We talk about getting along. We talk about growing together as a family. At home, you don't talk about compassion. You talk about your iPad. You talk about Facebook. At home, you talk about work. You talk about fishing. Right, Roger? But here in church, you talk about compassion and forgive. Oh, we must forgive. And it's the hardest place to keep a family together. But if you walk through those fires, we're going to get blessed by who? You walk through those fires and people will come here because something here is happening what they want to hear. Amen? They want to hear the good news of God. That's why they come to church. Not to get yelled at. Not to get sit, kneel, stand, and leave. And well, by the way, here's an envelope. Fill it with money and call me later. I'm sorry, but it's crazy. It's not what's in the Bible. It's not. It's not what's in that book. The Bible says be a cheerful giver. If you don't give, that's between you and God. If God's not blessing you back, you say, well, that's between. God is saying, I'd love to give to you. I'd really love to bless you. Can you put something in the bank? See, he's not looking for how much money you put. He's not looking for how much compassion or forgiveness. He's looking for you to start. He knows your needs. Say, well, Lord, I can't pay the rent. He's saying, child, I know that. But show me that you trust me. Show me you trust me with a dime. Show me that you trust me with a dime, and I will show you how I'll give you a dollar back with people around you lifting you up and helping you. Amen? That's your God. That's the testimony that you need to share with other people. That's the God you need to talk about. When you see the hate in the world and you watch TV and people are killing people, killing children, and doing all this stuff, that is evil. That's the devil. You're watching the devil live on TV every single day. Every single day. So we need to start showing them who Jesus is. And if, you know what? And the hardest thing in church, Miss Karen, is that everybody to be in unity all the time. But we have to be. We have to be for him. Amen? Does that mean we have to get along all the time? Absolutely not. Does it mean you have to go to dinner with everybody? Absolutely not. Does it mean that we agree with everybody? I hope not, because we're all individuals. Amen? But in the bottom line is say, look, I really hate that you do that, but I love that you're in church and we'll work together. You see, that's where, and say, I really hate that you say that. I can't stand that you say that all the time, but you're in church. Let's work together. You've made an effort. Look at you all. Look around. You all made an effort today to get up to come where? To church. And I bet there's some of you out there thinking 10 years ago, if I told you 10 years ago you'd be coming to church every Sunday, you just laughed at me. Said, are you out of your mind? I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I don't go to church. And here you are. Amen? Why? Because you're hungry for the good news. Amen? You're hungry for something more. You're hungry to get fed by God. You're hungry to learn and see and taste. Amen? And I see it. I see it in the people here. I see the people. I talked to last week. My heart was so happy last week. I talked to a couple of people and they were like humble. And they just pulled back and said, this is not what I normally would do. And they see the rewards of what they're doing. Amen? They see how different people treat them. And it only takes a minute to do that. You'll see it. You'll see how people talk to you if you talk to them differently. Amen? You'll see it. Just like I said, when you get that phone call and you look at the caller ID, we never had it before, and you see that name, say, oh, God, I can't talk to this person. If that person started to change and just say, hey, how you doing, and didn't say the same things, you'd have to pick up the phone. Amen? So his changing made you change. You got to remember that. Amen? We're walking together. I want you to look all around and see, this is your family. We're going to have Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We're all in victory. Yeah, I say, how many have victory? Y'all should raise your hands. You're all in victory. And we're going to have our coffee social. We're this church. We're going to have our first Bible study Wednesday. Can you believe it? Our first Bible study Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here. Amen? Second Congregational. The church that you've been praying for is moving forward. Amen? Give God praise and glory. Give Him the praise. Lord, let us see You. Let us see, Lord, that You've put us here for a reason. And let's do everything, Lord, that we can. Let us learn to do everything that we can. Now that You put us here and You're building this with us, let us do all we can for You. For You. Everything we do in this church will be for You. When people walk into this church, they'll see You. When people walk into this church, they'll see joy. When they walk into this church, they'll see a family. When they walk into this church, they'll see hope for tomorrow. They'll see people relaxed in church with their shoes off if they want to. Because this is a place that we come to get fed in peace and joy. And we celebrate the Lord and we read His Word. We read the Bible in this church. We talk about the Bible in this church. We don't have any pageantry. We don't have that. We don't dress above anybody. We all come together because we're a family. We're a family together, sharing, talking, growing, disagreeing. So what? As long as we stay focused on God, we don't compromise that. Our Lord, our Savior, this week, none of us in this building would want to go through what this man is going to go through. None of us would want to see what he has to see, what he has to offer. This man is going to be so close to people, their salvation will be as close as their face in front of them. And they won't see the salvation. They won't ask for the salvation because of pride, because of arrogance, because they're afraid they'll have to give up something of themselves to ask for that salvation. We'll see what he has to face. He has everything for them, and he gets rejected. He loves, and he gets rocks thrown at him. We'll see what he has to go through. And how each day gets closer, and how his pain inside, his spirit gets scared. He asks his Father, this week, if You could take this cup from me, knowing He wouldn't, because He was the reason. Jesus was the reason He was here. This man that we're going to talk about today, this Jesus, this Palm Sunday and the palms and the pageantry, has nothing to do with what He went through. We celebrate that. Today we're going to talk about it. You're going to know more about it. You're going to understand more about Jesus as a person, as a man in flesh. He came here. We're going to read about it. And I just pray you receive this beautiful story today in Jesus' name. Palm Sunday. 500 years before Jesus. 500. How many? Hallelujah. Zechariah, one of the prophets in the Bible. His letter was to give hope to God's people by revealing God's future deliverance through the Messiah, through Jesus. 500 years before, this is what Zechariah wrote. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's the city of David. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. That's to the whole nations. And he says, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. What does he have? 500 years before, he's telling us, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hallelujah. 500 years before, that's Zechariah in the Old Testament, prophesying about who? Hallelujah. The Sunday before the great Passover festival was to begin. This is the day. The Sunday before the great Passover festival. And why? Because Jews were coming to Jerusalem from all over. Now, this was to remember the Exodus. Amen. You all know about that. Moses in the, out of Egypt. And this was their celebration. This was the beginning of it. This is Sunday. So Jesus knew that everybody was going to be in Jerusalem. Amen. Now, let me explain about palm branches. Where are the palm branches you got there, Marilyn, making all the crosses? Palms? Palm branches were simply this, a symbol of triumph and victory in the Roman culture. There you go. Those were a symbol. The palm branches were a symbol of victory. Are you with me? Now listen to this. This is something else I'll read to you first, and then we'll read. Eastern tradition, a colt of a donkey. A colt or a donkey is an animal of peace. Did anybody know that? That's considered an animal of peace. A horse would be an animal of war. Jesus came in on a what? Hallelujah. Okay, so now here it is, the Sunday before. What has Jesus been doing? What's he been doing? He's been teaching. All this, you know, before this, he's been coming and getting closer. He's been teaching. He's been healing the sick. He's been talking to the ministries. He's been talking to the Pharisees. He's been talking to the high priest. He's walking with his disciples. Amen? And Jesus says this to them. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. He predicts his death to the disciples. Mary, they don't understand what he's saying. He predicts it the first time. And then the second time, he's walking now. You got a picture. Just picture him. We're just walking and teaching and doing what he, just living and learning. And this is what he says to him again later on. He says, and listen to what the Bible tells us. It says, let these words sink down into your ears. Into your ears, is it? For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed with the hands of men. But they do not understand this saying. He predicts his death the second time, Pat. He's talking. This is what he's doing now. This is Palm Sunday, just before Palm Sunday. And he predicts his death the second time. And the Bible says this. Just understand, because you know what the disciples didn't know. He said, but they did not understand this saying. And the Bible goes on to say they were afraid to ask him about it. And that, right after he says that, they were afraid to ask him. So he continues teaching and healing the sick. He's teaching about the kingdom of God and about entering the kingdom. And then on the very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. This is in Luke I'm reading from. And Jesus says to them, the Pharisees, listen what they, on the very day, some Pharisees came to him saying, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And he says, nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus says, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's grieving over Jerusalem. And it begins. Thank you, Lord. When he said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew, you know what, I'm going to read Matthew first, because there's something in Luke that's just one of my favorite scriptures of all, brothers and sisters. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go to Luke 21. Thank you, Lord. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And this is what the Bible says. All this was done, Matthew is telling us, all this was done that might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet saying, do you remember what I just read to you? By the prophet saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Matthew was quoting Zechariah, amen? Matthew was quoting the prophet from 500 years ago. Hallelujah. So the disciples went and did just as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Another prophecy that Jesus told them. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moving, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody know what the Sanhedrin is? I spell S-A-N-H-E-D-R-I-N, the Sanhedrin. It's in the Bible. It's a story. It's a, not a story, I'm sorry. It's called sitting together. It means in Greek, but sitting together. It's an assembly or council of 23 to 71 men appointed to vote for both conviction or exoneration. It was a religious group of people as a council. They claimed, the Sanhedrin claimed this, they had power, more power than the lesser Jewish courts did not have. They were the only ones who could try a king. And the high priest acted as the head of the Sanhedrin. So it was actually a religious group, amen, who judged everybody else, who made judges on everybody else, but the Sanhedrin was the highest of them. Hallelujah. Now when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." And Jesus said, "The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Hallelujah. They're asking Jesus for an answer they don't want. Are you with me? They're asking Jesus for an answer they didn't even want. They didn't want to give up any authority. You notice they're talking about authority. They were the authority. They were afraid he was going to steal something from them. They were afraid he was going to take their power. They were in power. They didn't want to know about God, amen? They didn't want to know about God. They didn't want to hear about it. They were judging him. Hallelujah. Let me read from Luke. Stay with me because there's a scripture, one line here that just, when I first read it, moved me, and I just pray that you understand what it says. Jesus again, when he said these things, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosening it?' thus you shall say, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosening the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Hallelujah. Then as he was now drawing near to descend of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. You understand what's happening? Something that I wish every church could do. When I tell you 6 or 7 times on a Sunday to give God praise and glory, I want God to hear the praise and glory. Amen. These people were giving him praise and glory, and it was just so loud you couldn't miss it no matter where you were. Amen. And I tell you that people in Derby, if they heard you praising him and giving him that glory, they would have to hear you. Amen. That's why I say all the time, give him praise, church. Not your pastor. I'm just a man. But I tell you to give him praise, because the Bible talks to that over and over again. Praise him like that. Hallelujah. The whole multitude of the disciples began rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, and they said this, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Why would they say that? Because the people were praising who?
God.
Praising Jesus, not them. They also, all of a sudden, they thought that they lost their authority. Are you with me? They thought because Jesus came and they lost their authority, and they say that Jesus, they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. You tell them to be quiet. The devil is telling you every day, be quiet. David, he's telling you, be quiet." You go, "Oh, don't talk about God." That's the devil saying, "Be quiet." Karen, he's saying, "Be quiet. Don't talk to your husband about God." The devil's, "Don't do that, because you might say something. You might say something to somebody, and they might actually come to church." Ooh. You might say something to somebody you really don't care for that much and tell them about your church, and they may show up. And then what? And then you got to love them. Oh, boy. And then you got to talk it. And then you gotta welcome them. Amen? Listen, you tell these people to be quiet. The devil's telling you every day, be quiet. Turn that music, turn the Christian music off. So don't talk to your children about God. The devil's telling you that. But the Bible's telling us the whole multitude of the disciples being rejoicing and praise God with a loud voice. And brothers and sisters, here it is. Here's what Luke tells us. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you," and notice he didn't yell. Amen. Notice he didn't raise his voice. He didn't yell. He looked at them and said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Jesus has said, if they don't praise me, the stones are going to start praising me. He's telling us if we don't praise him, these walls are going to start crying out and praising God. He said, you don't praise him, I'm going to have the trees on the green start praising him. So I don't need you. God is saying, I don't need you to praise me. I don't need you for that. I can get anything. I can get any. I can get the ducks flying in the air to start praising me. But he told those people that if these people stop, these rocks are going to start praising me. We need to know who our God is. We need to love him like that. We need to see him like, to understand. Amen. Even the rocks would cry, this is our Jesus. This is our Jesus. Amen. This is our lamb that was slain, our pure lamb, our son of God who came here for you. That, I love that. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he was questioned again. He was questioned by the high priest, the Sanhedrin. That's what he was questioned by. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In John 12:13, I just want to read this, just one little piece of John, so just so you know where we're going. John 12:13 says that they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. So the palms come in the book of John, the four Gospels. The other three don't mention palm trees. They just mention the branches, and those were the trees there. Amen? That's where the trees were. And again, I said, as I told Marilyn, the palm trees, the palm branches were a sign of victory, sign of victory, the Roman sign of victory. That was, and laying your clothes and laying the palms in front of him, it was a sign of honor. Amen. It showed honor. The Pharisees would have loved that they did that for them and give them the best seats in the house. How many times you've ever read that and see that? They come in and the people who are special, they come up and they sit in the front row because that's the front row, and not my bride, because I want her right there. I need her. She's my rock. Amen. But I'm saying the people come in and with the robes and they come in like they're special. Do they sit in the back? No. Where do they sit? Right up in front, where everybody is. Are you with me? So it's honor. Palm Sunday, when Jesus is riding, these people are praising him, thinking he's going to save them. He's going to overthrow all these people. He's going to do it. He's our Messiah. Some of them got disappointed because he didn't. But that's simply, and that's a terrible word to use, but simply what Palm Sunday, the entrance into Jerusalem. But what happened before and now this week? Hallelujah. Just picture yourself as Jesus right this minute. No, not blasphemy. You're not being God. Imagine. He teaches his disciples. This is what he does this week. He heals the sick. He answers questions to the chief priests. This week he has the Last Supper. This week he's going to be betrayed by somebody with him. Somebody who walked and was with him, he's about to be betrayed. He's about to be taken prisoner. He's about to be condemned. He's about to be beaten. And he's about to be taken away crucified. Palm Sunday is one day that we celebrate today remembering, but we need to remember what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. We need to understand where this man is going. This man who loves you beyond your own imagination, what he's doing this week, what's happening to him. He's about to be betrayed. Nobody likes to be betrayed, amen? Nobody likes to be lied about. Nobody likes to be beaten and whipped. He's about to face that and face his death. I want to read this to you, and next week is Resurrection Sunday, Easter, so I'm going to read this to you. This is very powerful. Listen, John 19:10. Pilate says to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" Pilate is saying to Jesus, Miss Pat, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answers, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." Jesus tells him, you don't have any power over me. When I hear about on TV and I hear them in the news, they say, who's to blame for Jesus' death? Jesus came here to die for us. You blame this group, you blame that group. Hallelujah. Jesus says this, "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Jesus is saying to him, "You have no power over me to do what you're going to do unless it came down from above. My Father gave you the power to do to me." He said, "But your sin isn't as great as the one who gave them to me." And who gave Jesus to them? The high priests, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the priests gave them. And he said they have the greater sin. Why? Because it was premeditated murder that they were talking about. They wanted him what?
Dead.
They put him there to be crucified. And even Pilate said, let me release him. I'll do a couple of things. And they said, no, you can't do that. Give us Barnabas. We want Jesus dead. So Jesus said, they have the greater sin. They had premeditated to themselves that we need to kill this man because he's about to take our authority. Palm Sunday, today, your Jesus, what he's going to do for you this week, what he's going to face for you this week, is how important this is to us. Amen? It's more than a celebration. It's more than having the palms. It's about what Jesus is doing in your life, Deacon Chuck. Your life, Indian Warrior. Jesus wants to work in your life. He knows your troubles. He knows what you believe with your Indians and your nations. He loves you for that. But he wants you to love him first so he can help you with that. Because he is above all and everything. And that's our God. Amen. The pure lamb that was slain. Give him praise and glory for Palm Sunday and for what he's going to face. I wanted you to know more about Jesus today. And not that you didn't know. I wanted to read to you and explain to you the things that he's done and where he's been and the weeks leading up to this, the days leading up to this, and the days leading up to this. He knew what was in front of him. He knew. He could have given salvation to everybody, but they didn't ask him for it. They didn't. Salvation was right there. And these high priests who knew the Bible. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The devil knows the Bible. Amen? They knew the Bible. They didn't want to give up authority. They didn't want to give up. And they had to say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, accept me. And everything that they wanted would have been theirs. They wouldn't have lost. They would have gained. But no, they wanted the one thing that meant everything to them, power. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. At that supper, he sat there and he took the bread and blessed and broke it. And he said to these people sitting with him, this is my body being torn for you, my flesh for you. And he said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. He took the wine and he poured it into a cup. And he told those around him, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. He knew what he was about to face. And he simply said to them, do this as many times as you want in remembrance of me. Children you want to bring to God, start praising him. You got grandchildren, you got friends you want to bring to God, start telling them the good things about God. What God is doing for you in your life, what he's changing in your life, the blessings he's bringing to you. Because brothers and sisters, and we've heard it time and time again, somebody goes to church that hasn't been in a while, and they feel something that they know was always missing. They didn't know what it was, but the second they came in the door and sat down, they felt something that they know was missing in their lives. They felt their communion with God. They felt a connection to God when they came to church. Not about the pastor, not about the singing, not about the music, but they felt a connection, the thing that was missing with God. That's what they felt. We need to bring more people to our church, amen, and give them that. Give them praise, church. Don't let the walls do it for you.